Thanks, Mom. Talk about swag. She's so cool, isn't she? Well, we're so glad to have you all here. Thank you for being here. Crossroad Great Ministry will be also participating in our Greater Things offering. In a few months, our annual offering that goes to Greater Things in our city, and they will be able to partner with them financially like we did last year. And so thank you for being involved. Check out the table, and many of you are already doing that, and check out how you can be involved with this amazing ministry right here in our own backyard. So we've got the youth Disciple Now weekend. Yeah, there we go. They have been for 72 hours hanging out and being here, host home. And I want to do this. Can we just, all of our host home and youth workers, I want you to stand up. Let's give it up for these guys. Some back there. There's some over here. All right. Thank you, guys. Hey, thank you for investing in our youth this past weekend and helping them in their walk with you. And we have a good group here. I think there was 30-something teenagers that were part of this weekend. And so thank you, guys, for being involved. And looking good. I love how they kind of just took over a whole session. I see some of you are like, well, I guess we got to move to a new session today. You know, but anyway, that's awesome. It's awesome to see what God is doing there. Real quick before we get into the message, if you're a guest with us, hey, I'm glad you're here. My name is Pastor Scott. As you came in, you should receive a program. Inside the program is a connection card. We ask you to take a minute, fill that card out, and then at the end of the service, you can drop it in our offering boxes or give it to me. Love to meet you, give you a free gift. And thank you for being here today. And then, of course, in a few minutes, we'll have baptism here at the end of the service. And so if you're here and you're like, man, I'm on the fence. Should I get baptized? Should I not get baptized? There's time. We have everything you need, all the supplies you need, all the dry clothes you need, extra towels, everything you need to get baptized today. So if that's you, at any point during the service, we'll even have a song before baptism. You want to get up and talk to Pastor Chris in the lobby. He'll be back there, or someone will be back there to talk to you about in the baptism, answering the questions, get you ready to go, and you can be a part of the baptism here at the end of our service. And then last but not least, in about five weeks, but March 15th is our 15-year anniversary, and it's going to be a great, great Sunday. Got special things planned. One of the things that we're doing is we're having a 1 o'clock lunch for everybody. Both services combined under one roof. You know, it's going to be mission barbecue boxes. So we're going to, you know, if you want to be a part of that, it's $10 a box, and we'll supplement some of it to bring the cost down low. And because we want everybody to be a part of your special day, to be part of our church, and you know, just to get the fellowship with all of us on March 15th. It's going to be a great, great day. So, well, hey, let me jump into this. And I one of my things I love to watch on TV, on the television, I love to watch shows like, you know, the pawn shop, auction. I love watching those type of, you know, shows. And, you know, the show that based out of Vegas, and with the pawn dogs, and so they've got that show, and I'm always intrigued by what goes in and what they bring inside. And sometimes people got stuff that they want to sell. They think they've got the real deal. They think they've got the thing that's gonna make them, you know, sell for a lot of money. And the guy pick it up and look at it, and they say, "Man, this isn't real. It's fake. It's worth nothing." And you can just see the devastation on their faces. I mean, it's always like, oh man, I feel bad for them, you know, because they thought they had $100,000 worth of something, and it's nothing. But then there's the other side of things, you know, where someone comes in with, I remember watching one episode where this older lady, she had a box of jewelry, and for her, she thought she was hoping to get collectively out of this whole box, maybe $100. She said, it wasn't worth a lot of stuff, and so, the guy was looking at each piece of jewelry, and some of it was like, hey, this is $5. This one's worth maybe $10, and then she pulled out this one piece of jewelry, and he said, this is interesting. And he kind of looked at it and said, can you mind if I get someone to look at this? The older lady was like, yeah, sure. So the guy comes in, he checks it out, and what it was made in 1904 by Tiffany and Company. And it was, when they bought it and they sold it at an auction for $385,000. She had this piece of jewelry in a box full of pretty much worthless jewelry. She had it sitting there for years. Years and years and years, and had no idea that she had something so, so valuable. And this is what we want to do in this series, because in our series the next few weeks, we want to talk about relationship, because I think a lot of times we treat our relationship like it's just another piece of jewelry, it's just worthless, it's not that important. When our relationships are so, so important. There's so much value in important relationship, but yet some of us, we don't invest in our relationship. They're buried in the box with all the other stuff of our lives. And we don't treat it what it should be. And so in this series, what we want to talk, it's called relationship cues. And because we take our cues, many times we take our cues, advice from the world. And not that the world, there's some good stuff that they may offer. There's some good ideas, and some of it may be even biblically based. But what we want to do here for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we want to get our cues, our advice from the best source, from the Word of God. And we want to challenge our way of thinking and the way it comes to relationships. And so here's what we're doing today. Today's kind of like a 30,000 feet up above the, above the earth kind of view, such a big giant viewpoint, such a kind of an overall. Next week, my daughter and I, Abigail, we're going to be gone for 2 days to Las Vegas to go celebrate the grand opening of our new church plant that we support down in Vegas, Pastor Bradley Balfour, the Village Church, and so we're going to be a part of that. So next Sunday, Pastor Chris on Valentine's weekend. He could be kind of talking about marriage relationships. The week after that, I'm going to be back to talk about singlehood relationships. Then the week after that, Pastor David, our discipleship pastor, he's going to talk about parenting relationship. And then we'll kind of close it out. I'll close it out here with the final recap and the final message. So kind of what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. But today I want to talk about some relationship cues, in general. And I want to take our cues. The Bible says, Bible has heavy weight when it comes to relationships. In fact, in Matthew chapter 22, we've read this a lot, but verse number 37 to 39, someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? If you could sum it all up in one commandment, what would it be? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, that's the first, that's the greatest commandment. And then he said, the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. What Jesus was saying was, hey, listen, you need to love God, and then you need to love people. Love God, love people, because nothing is more important than that. You see, it's possible for all of us to live a whole life and miss out on the importance of relationship. It's possible to pour yourself into your jobs, into your careers, into your activities, even in church, and miss out on the life-giving relationship that God created us for. And so what we want to do is to look at a few things. What does relationship do? Well, if you take a note, relationship, it's the place that challenges us, right? It's the place we find the challenge that we need. How are you going to find the challenge to go to the next step in life? Challenge. Relationship, if you take a note, are the place that we find the encouragement that we need. Encouragement. We all need it. I know I do. You ever try to encourage yourself by yourself? It doesn't work very well, does it? It's always great to have people to speak into your life and you speak into others. And so it's the encouragement that we need. Relationship, to give us the comfort that we need. The comfort. There are times where you're going to go through a rough time, a tough time, and you're going to need someone to be there for you, to encourage you, to support you, to be there for you, to comfort. And so we need to talk about this general idea of relationship, and in our life, the journey of life, we're going to come across some of these crossroads. It's funny because, you know, we talk about crossroads ministries. You see, at every crossroads of life, you have choices to make. You can either go down the one path or you can go down the other path. The one path is not good. The other path is great. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about four relational crossroads that we're going to all go through and that intersect in all different types of relationships, whether you're married, whether you're single, people you work with, people you're here at church with, these relational crossroads, and you have choices that you have to make. And so I want to talk about these four real quickly. Number one, if you're taking notes, you have a choice to walk alone or to be connected. You have a choice to walk alone or to be connected. You can either choose to isolate yourself or choose to be with other people. I know many people, that, you know, we live in a society where more and more people are drifting toward more isolation. They're drifting toward being disconnected. There are many different reasons for that. Now, some people are disconnected and isolated because they've been hurt in the past. They were connected and that relationship hurt them. And so they decided, hey, I'm never going to let someone in my life to hurt me like that again. And so we isolate. Some of us were just too busy. We just don't have time for it. You know, it's another thing to do. I've got work, I've got kids, I've got activities and hobbies. I don't have time for relationships. Maybe some of you are just inconvenienced. You know, you just don't like people. You know, you'd rather not people with people. You'd rather be separated. So it just hurts for you to be around people. But whatever it is, we are finding ourselves more and more isolated. And the danger of that is when we become isolated, we become more vulnerable. Vulnerable. Bible says, we read this verse a few weeks ago, but I want to read this again. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. In other words, he becomes vulnerable. It's open for the attack of others. He said, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 talks about the early believers in the church, and they talk about relationship. Look at verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place. And they shared everything they had. They were together. They had relationship. They were community. They were attracted to that. Like a moth to a flame. They were attracted to relationship. That's what it means to be a part of a church. Was to develop these relationships. We have many opportunities here to be involved in groups, be connected in men group and lady group, and small group, life group, D groups. But it's so important to be connected, to share together, to meet together in relationship. And at the first crossroad, because a lot of us, let's be honest, it's easier to live life alone than to be purposeful and to connect with others. It's the second relational crossroad. And that is, you have a choice to pretend or be real. To pretend or be real. Jesus had a word for the pretenders, right? He had a word for them. He called them hypocrites. And he had a group of people, religious people, you know, called the Pharisees. And he had a harsh word for them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, he said, woe to you. Now, the word woe means sorrowful. He said, Jesus, I mean, I feel sorry for you guys. It's sorrowful. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like the whitewashed tombs. They look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. He said, well, that was a real nice thing to say, Jesus. I mean, that was some tough words here. He's saying, hey, listen, y'all. He said, it looks really nice on the outside. It's like whitewash. But on the inside, it's ugly. And it's ugly. Why don't you take the time to work on the inside, the real you? And here's what I've learned. It takes so much work just to keep up with appearances. Just to play the game. It takes so much work. I mean, we can all be good with our Jesus smile. We can show up to church with our Jesus smile. Never mind your drive here. You know, you're running late. The kids are fighting. You know, you're yelling in the back seat. You know, I mean, you know, everyone's a hot mess. You say, hey, if y'all don't behave, we're going to turn this car around. And then you pull in the church parking lot and everything just stops. Whoop. Got my Jesus smile on. Hey, how's it going? Oh, man, everything, oh, it's so good. It's, you know, and I get it. Sometimes we don't tell all of our garbage out in the lobby. Maybe it's not the best place, but sometimes we're good with our mask, with our Jesus smile. We pretend to be something that we're not. And sometimes we do that day after day, all the time, living this fake life. When you hit the pillow at night, you're just exhausted from the playing the game. And so you get to choose. You have a choice when it comes to relationship. Do you just keep pretending? Or do you just get real? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter said, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now that you've been a changed person, now that Jesus come into your life and changed you, so now you must show sincere love, authentic love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Sincere love. And how do you be sincere? How do you be honest and authentic? Well, you start with one word at a time, with one conversation at a time, with one relationship at a time. That's where it begins. That one word, that one conversation, you be honest. Stop pretending. Be real. Be real. So you have a choice. You can live the pretend life like a hypocrite, or you can be real, honest, and talk to the people in your life that really want to invest in you. Teenagers, you know, you have opportunity to be with some amazing youth workers. You know, be honest. Help them to understand you. They can't know inside your heart until you tell them. Be honest. Be real. Sometimes we're afraid about being real. Because, well, if I'm real, they might shun me. They might think differently of me. But I'm telling you got people that want to love you, want to invest in you, even through the difficult, hard parts of our lives. And so you have a choice, all of us. Be real. Or you can pretend. Here's the third crossroad. You could choose the crossroad of the shortcut, or you could take the long road. In a world of instant gratification, we often want quick results, right? We want it fast, microwave fast. We want conflict resolution to be quickly resolved, quick emotional healing, quick relational depth. We want best friends, the minute that you meet someone for the first time, and say, hey, we're going to become best friends. And it doesn't work that way. Deep, lasting relationships don't come from shortcuts. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, the word for all of us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. And then look at the two words here. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance, what does that mean? It means costly, messy. In other words, good relationships are going to cost you something. It's going to be messy. You just need to know that. They don't always work out the way you want them to work out. They always take more time than we expected. And so because of that, you've got to decide, hey, I'm going to take the long road with this person. I'm going to make allowance with this person. It's going to cost me. It's going to get messy. But I want them to have the time to develop into the person that God wants them to be. I remember when I was in college, all these one-minute books that came out. The first one was The One-Minute Manager by a guy named Ken Blanchard, no relations. But then out of that, all these other spin-offs came out. That's a great idea, One-Minute Manager. And then One-Minute Parenting and One-Minute Marriage and One-Minute Relationship, all these spin-offs that came out of it. And here's the truth. You really can't do a relationship in 1 minute. A lot of people say, great, 1 minute a day, and I'm going to have a great relationship. Uh-uh. Not going to happen. True connection doesn't happen in a moment. The real connection happens moment after moment, choice after choice, through season of joy and comfort. See, there's a word that I think all of us need to hear. When it comes to the difficult relationships you might have, the messy relationships you might have, here's the word for you. Go back to that verse that we just read, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Notice what it says. It said, always be humble and gentle. And then here's the word, be patient. Be patient with each other. Patient, right? That's the key. That's the long road. Are you willing to be patient? I love this next verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm not sure that I love this verse, to be honest with you. Verse 14, be patient with everyone. You see, I hate that. Everyone? Come on. I've got to be patient with everyone. By the way, I'm so grateful. First of all, I'm grateful that God is patient with me. And I'm grateful for the people in my life that have been patient with me. I'm thankful for Karen, who's been so, so patient with me. But in light of all that, I'm thankful for it, for people being patient with me. But in light of all that, I do hate being patient with other people. I mean, I want people to grow fast. I want people to hurry up. Yet for relationship to develop, it takes genuine patience. It means that you believe that God is at work in that person's life, even if you don't see the progress on his face. You trust that God is working. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it captures this so beautifully. It says, love never gives up. It never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So, when you're at that relational crossroads, you have a choice, right? Will I take the shortcut Would I take the shortcut and give up? Or would I take the long road and be patient? And for some of you, this is exactly what God is speaking to you today. He's saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on that friendship. Don't give up on the people that God has placed in your life. Don't give up. Here's the fourth crossroad. We all face it. You have a choice to pick to choose the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is just living life, just kind of going through the motions of life. It's easy. It's easy to just go through the motions of life, to be comfortable. The hard way is to break out of your comfort zone and to make real changes in your life. That's the hard way. Change. But God wants to do a change in your life. We talk about reset for the last 5-6 weeks. A life reset. Change. It's hard work. You know, it's easy just to kind of go through what I've always done, just kind of go through the motions of life. It's easy. I'm telling you, it's easy. I know. But Jesus has so much for you. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. He has come that you have life. And the thing that stopping you from having that life that he wants from you, from where you at right now to the life that he wants for you, the thing that's stopping you is that one word, that word change. Change is not easy. Change is not fun. People resist making change. And he uses so many different things to help change in our lives. And one of the areas, one of the things that God uses to help bring change in our life, relationships. God uses the people around you to help you, to grow you. I love Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And that may sound like a beautiful process, but it's actually kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of like a challenging process. But think about it. When metal hit metal, what happens? Sparks. Sparks flies. It's not smooth. It's not easy. It's not painless. Have you ever seen that happen in a relationship? I mean, here's how it happens. The metal hit metal. You know, there's a dull spot in my life. If someone wants to speak into it, metal hit metal, they're sparking, and after the sparking, they're barking, right? I'm yelling, right? Sometimes it's resistance. Sometimes when you're called out in a loving way, you know, with people around you, when they call you out, they say, hey, there's something in your life you're not seeing. There's a blind spot in your life you're not seeing. At first, we want to resist. At first, we want to say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. We don't want to hear it. But if you let that person in and let them let you see those blind spots, it will help you be sharpened to be the person, be the man, be the woman that God wants you to be. God wants to use that person, the catalyst, be the catalyst of change in your life. Iron sharpened iron. Now I'm in my D group. I've got my 4 or 5 guys in my little D group. We meet every week. And in the past week, I told the guys, I said, guys, I need y'all to hold me accountable. I said, if I come back next week and I haven't done what I said I needed to do, I said, I need you to call me out. I need you to call me out. I said, the look in the guys' faces, they're like, well, you're the pastor. I said, it doesn't matter. I need to be called out. I need to be challenged. If I'm just coming to the group and never getting challenged, then I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting your time. We need to challenge each other. We need metal on metal. I look at the guys and said, guys, I'm giving you permission to speak into my life. For some of you, that may be what you need to do. You need to give someone in your life, close friend, someone close to you, and you need this one to say, hey, listen, I'm giving you permission to call me out in love so that you can challenge me to grow. That's a strong relationship. Someone that can call you out in a loving way. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the writer of Hebrews said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Find ways to encourage and motivate each other to the things of God. See, change doesn't come through criticism, but it comes through encouragement, words that will inspire us to step into the life that God has for us. And so change. It's easy to just kind of go through the status quo of life. Or you say, you know what? I want to go the hard way. And I want to surround myself with people that can build me up. Maybe one of the questions you need to ask yourself is, who are the five people in your life? Are the five people in your life, are those the five people that are going to help you become stronger or weaker? And if the five people that you can think of that's in your life, the five friends that are not going to help you become stronger but weaker, then it's time to change your five friends. It's time to change your circle. It's time to surround yourself, because that way you surround yourself with strong people who help you be stronger. Crossroads. Crossroads. You can feel the tension of it. At every crossroads of life, of our relationship life, there's the tension. You know, am I going to get involved with people, or am I going to be isolated? Am I going to stop pretending, or am I going to start being real? Am I going to take the shortcut, or am I willing to take the long road with patience? Am I going to stay comfortable and just kind of go through the motions of life, or am I going to be around people that's going to challenge me, metal upon metal, challenge me to grow? These are the crossroads. That's the moment when we decide. And before I pray, before we close out, I want to talk about the one who loves you, who broke every barrier so that he could have a relationship with you. His name is Jesus. You see, he came from heaven to earth so that he could be connected with you. He's the real deal. You don't have to pretend with him. He's real. He is so, so, so patient. He's willing to go the long road with you. And he is committed to walk with you and to change you from the inside out. He wants to do the hard thing within you, because the payoff is worth the reward. A life lived to the fullness. And as we close out this message, this opening message of this sermon series, my question is, do you know him? Do you know him? In just a few minutes, we're going to have baptism. And these are people that have made a decision to know Jesus as their personal Savior and their personal friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he wants to know you. The question is, do you know him? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today. Help us as we get ready for baptism. We thank you for those that made decisions, those that want to take a new next step in baptism. But God, maybe there's someone here that needs to make that decision. They don't know you as their Lord and Savior and as their personal friend. God, I pray that today they see who you are and what you want to do for each and every one of us. And then, God, as we talk about the bulk of the message was about relationships. God, I don't know what area, that crossroad that we're falling behind. Maybe we're not connected, we're isolated. Or maybe we're not real, we're fake. And God, maybe we need to start becoming real. God, maybe we need to be patient. Be patient with people, because relationships are messy, it's costly. Help us to be patient. Maybe, God, there was a word for some of us that we need to hear people in our lives to tell honest truth, the hard truth that we need to hear, metal on metal, so that we could be sharpened and be the man and the woman you want us to be. And so, God, we just thank you for the decisions of baptism that we're going to witness today. And God, I pray that if there's anyone else here that needs to make that decision, God, I pray in the next few minutes as we sing, that they will go and talk to someone in the lobby and make that decision and get baptized as well. And so, God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.